Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I hate to say I told you so. I try not to operate that way. You guys are here. Now, I will admit that you guys have selective amnesia when it comes to my picks and predictions. When I get things right, it's cricket on the text line. Oh, when I get something wrong, you guys can't wait. You guys show up at 2:01 ready to talk. Did I not tell you that it was impossible for Russell Wilson to continue to be the starting quarterback for the Giants after that goal line sequence? It was so bad. It was such a disaster. I don't know how in good faith you could continue to put him out there. The Chiefs ended the career of Mr. Unlimited. Yeah.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah.
I tried to tell you guys about Mr. Unlimited. We'll talk more about him coming up in just a little bit, but the Giants have made the decision that they are going in a different direction at quarterback, and Jackson Dart, their first-round pick out of Ole Miss, is going to start for them coming up this Sunday. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us on the show. He does the pre- and the post-game for the Chiefs Radio Network. Certainly a lot of things to get into in today's show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you guys. Rob is here. Happy to be with you guys as well. One thing I've noticed about Rob, and I don't know if this is because Kansas is maybe good this year at football and K-State is bad this year at football, but Rob got a little different energy for college football this season than I've seen before. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Rob over the years, so I just kind of know Rob when he's happy, when he's upset. I get a sense of something. I'm telling you, K-State fans, if K-State can go into the booth this year and beat KU, you guys do not understand how devastated it will make Rob. I'll explain more about that coming up as the show continues to progress as well. We got a lot to get into. Let's talk about Monday Night Football. But before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show. But if you could just tell one person this week that you like our radio show, you know what, man? I would really appreciate that. And number three, and maybe most important, go stop by and see our friends over at The Other Place. We got a great weekend in college football and also pro football. We got two great games coming up on Saturday night. We got Oregon and Penn State. We also got Georgia and Alabama. So if you don't have a two TV setup and you're looking for a place that does, you can also get great food specials, also get great drink specials. Guess what? You should go to The Other Place. If you're looking for a place to watch the 3:25 game between Kansas City and Baltimore, I would also suggest you stop by the other place and check it out. All right, this is where I am on Monday Night Football. As I'm sitting there watching it, I am thinking to myself, man, is it ever going to happen for the Ravens? Is it ever going to happen for Lamar? In order for there to be winners, there has to be losers. In order for Michael Jordan to have 6 championships, that meant that somebody had to go without. Those somebodies are Charles Barkley. Those somebodies are Patrick Ewing. Those somebodies are Reggie Miller. Like, we know the bodies that Michael Jordan collected in his NBA career. In order for him to have so much success, that meant other people had to experience failure on the opposite end of things. As I'm watching Monday Night Football, and I am watching yet another game in which the Ravens don't execute in the final 10 minutes of the game, a costly mistake here, a costly penalty, a costly turnover, an inability to stop the run, I started to wonder to myself, are the Ravens going to be one of those teams that is just good enough? There is a history of these teams throughout sports. We always kind of look back at the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. I mean, there was a time where the Chargers, when they had Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson and Marty Schottenheimer and Phillip Rivers, we looked at them as being one of those kinds of teams that had a chance to break through. Well, you lose the AFC Championship game in a heartbreaking fashion. This person retires. This thing happens. And the next thing you know, it never happens for Phillip Rivers. This has happened countless number of times in the NBA. It just happened to James Harden and the Houston Rockets. You can argue it happened the exact same way to Russell Westbrook with the Oklahoma City Thunder. There are guys that feel like they can be champions, and ultimately, they go up against other great teams, other great players, and they bump their head, and they are unable to break through. Lamar Jackson has 1 regular season win against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has never beaten the Chiefs in the postseason. Look at the other side of the coin with the Buffalo Bills. Their Week 1 loss, they lose to the Buffalo Bills. They also turn around and they got beat up by the Detroit Lions. The thing that stood out the most to me in watching Monday Night Football, it wasn't that the Ravens lost. There's no shame in losing to the Detroit Lions. We're talking about one of the better teams in the NFL. It was the how they lost, in my opinion. This Ravens team is one we looked at as potentially having the best defense in the National Football League. We spent a lot of time applauding whether the moves that they made in the draft are going to pick up a guy like Jaire Alexander. They gave up 38 points on Monday Night Football. The Lions ran for 38 attempts, 224 yards, and 4 touchdowns. The Ravens, on the flip side, you usually look at them as being a team that can really establish the run, can run the football effectively. The Ravens ran for 85 yards on Monday. So we're talking about 2 teams that want to establish the run. One team was far better at being able to run the football. And Detroit, they got 7 sacks against Lamar Jackson. Meanwhile, the Ravens got 0 against Jared Goff. I can't think of too many times in which we just saw the Ravens just get physically beat up the way that they did. And the Lions controlled the line of scrimmage on both the offensive and defensive side of the football. And if you were looking at this big picture sense for the Baltimore Ravens, you've already lost the tiebreaker to the Buffalo Bills, who have a much easier schedule than you have. You also go on the road to play Kansas City in what has now become one of the most important games of the first quarter of the NFL season. The Chiefs have gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, somewhat understandably with the injuries that they have. Baltimore has gotten off to a slow start. Maybe you could say understandably given the schedule that they have had so far in the early portion of the season. But I don't know if I can label must win for this game heading into Week 4, but it certainly feels like it'd be really nice to have. And I think you can label this to be far more must win for the Ravens than I think you can say the Chiefs. If you lose the tiebreaker and you fall to 1-3 and you lost the tiebreaker to Kansas City and Buffalo, you can go ahead and mark in that you will likely be going on the road in the postseason. And that's where you have to overcome your demons. You have to overcome how you have been unable to win those big games. Sometimes you get as many chances as you get, and you still aren't good enough. And what my fear would be if I follow the Ravens or cover the Ravens or a fan of the Ravens, how many more of these chances do you get? Lamar Jackson is going to be 29 years old at the end of the season. And yes, that is still relatively young, but we've never seen how a player like Lamar ages. It ended real quick for Cam Newton. Cam Newton was winning MVPs and doing the dab, and next thing you know, you looked up, and now he's hosting a podcast, and he's on First Take. Like, that all happened in a very short period of time. I don't know if the Ravens have another decade of these opportunities, another 7-8 years of these opportunities. They might have like 3 or 4 of these opportunities. So if that's the case, you got to try to get it while you can, and you're still in the middle of the Chiefs being a dynasty. Buffalo appears to be an organization that's right now knocking at the doorstep. Maybe the Chargers have figured things out. The Eagles over in the NFC have won 19 of their last 20 games. Who knows how good Detroit can be this season? Green Bay looks like they're a team. Like, there's a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of situations all fighting for one thing, and only one of them can be happy at the end of the season. Maybe this is an overreaction of what we saw on Monday Night Football, but I've seen a team so far in the first month of the season in Baltimore who have gone up against the championship heavyweight contending teams, and they have done something to cause them to lose in each of those fourth quarters. They should have beat Buffalo in week one, and they turned the ball over, and they played a lackadaisical final 15 minutes, and Buffalo came back to bite them. Last night, Monday Night Football, that was a game that was right there. You have a big penalty, a costly turnover late in the game. You put the ball right on the doorstep for the Detroit Lions. You know they're walking that into the end zone. You couldn't run the football like you usually do. You didn't stop the Lions from running the football like you usually do, and you couldn't get to their quarterback, and they got to your quarterback a bunch. I'm not saying it's panic time for the Baltimore Ravens. They're in a certainly still winnable division. I don't know how much I believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cincinnati doesn't have their starting quarterback for basically the rest of the year, and Cleveland as well. Cleveland. So I don't think that losing this one game will now cause you to panic if you're the Ravens. But the same way that we talk about Kansas City or Philadelphia or San Francisco holding themselves to a championship-level mentality, man, the Ravens, you have really hurt yourself in your chances in terms of, A, how January is going to play itself out for you, and losing some really important tiebreakers if the Ravens don't win on Sunday. And if you're Kansas City, if you're both of these teams, you got a chance to kind of stem the tide a little bit. You can be 2-2 heading into the next month of the season. If you're Kansas City, you get a couple of key pieces back, a couple of key players back. You feel like you're headed on the right path. If you are Baltimore, you kind of stem the tide a little bit from a very difficult early portion of your season. I don't know if you can make it more difficult than what Baltimore had. You had Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City in 3 of the first 4 games of the season. So it's understandable how you didn't really hit the ground running. We didn't see it as being important in the ways that it's going to be important. But with these two teams at 1-2, and one of these teams having the ability to head into October at 500, and one of these teams being 1-3 and having to dig themselves out of a hole, this might be the most important game in week 4 in the NFL schedule. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the New York Giants, who have fired their quarterback and brought in another one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's something that I want to admit to you guys. I think you guys are going to judge me for me admitting this, but all I can do is come on here and speak my truth. I'll tell you what that is coming up in just a little bit. Mike Gundy has also been let go as the head coach at Oklahoma State. I mean, that's going to happen when you've been as bad as they've been. They got a 60 spot hung on them a couple of weeks ago, and they lost to Tulsa. I mean, I don't know if you can be a head coach in Oklahoma. You've already been passed by Oklahoma just as a university. They've always been better than Oklahoma State, and now Tulsa is beating you. I mean, you got to hand in your letter of resignation. Speaking of letter of resignation, I believe that we have seen the end of Russell Wilson, at least as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Now, this has been brewing for quite some time. I mean, it's almost like this soundbite really marked the end of what has been a great career.
Hey, guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah.
So Russell Wilson was replaced earlier today as the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. I mean, you could just feel it. If anything, this should be maybe the biggest indictment on the Dallas Cowboys and their defense, that in back-to-back weeks, they made us believe in Russell Wilson. They also helped turn things around for Caleb Williams. Like, they got their own stimulus package going on right now with the Dallas Cowboys. What they're offering right now, they are allowing quarterbacks to complete 74% of their passes against that defense. They have 7 touchdown passes and 1 interception so far this season. So if your offense is in a little bit of a rut, man, no worries. You know what? You got the Cowboys coming up. I mean, Jordan's going to love playing against that defense. That is one thing that we know for Sunday Night Football. But let's get back to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was like a television show that probably should have ended a few seasons before, but just kept going. I don't know what the example for that is. I'm sure that you guys can tell me what the example for that is. Rob, I'm sure that you have an example of that kind of show. But I think it was kind of clear toward the end of Seattle. Hey, Russ is a little bit declining. And Seattle rightly got out of it, got very fair compensation for their quarterback, and moved on in a lot of ways. The Broncos, I mean, that thing didn't work from basically the first game. It told us everything I needed to know about Russell Wilson. It also told us everything that we need to know about Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach. Do you guys remember that first game for Russell Wilson as the Broncos quarterback? Funny enough, it was in Seattle. Funny how the NFL schedule just always seems to work out that way. And remember when the Broncos made the decision to go for the 60-plus yard field goal on like 4th and 4 instead of trusting their quarterback that they gave all this money to go for it? That should have told us right there that something was off with Russell Wilson. So that first season with Denver was a complete disaster. That second season wasn't nearly as bad, but it was just obvious that he and Sean Payton just weren't really on the same page. It kind of started off okay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That fell and faded incredibly fast, and they gave him essentially 2 starts. You got 2 starts, and you got a farewell tour against the Dallas Cowboys, but you played 2 actual real defenses in Washington and Kansas City. You couldn't really move the ball. You didn't really give us any hope for any kind of spark. And I'm serious. That goal line sequence was the end of Russell Wilson's career. You can't play quarterback worse than that. And the decision-making on 4th and goal to throw it out of the back of the end zone told me everything that I needed to know about where we are with Russell Wilson. So he certainly gave us a lot of great memories when he was in his prime. But like a lot of fighters, hey, man, it got kind of bad at the end of his career. Everybody doesn't get to ride off into the sunset, you know? Everybody doesn't get that storybook ending. This one's for John. Not everybody gets that moment. Some people go out like this.
Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect. Okay. One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
We should have known right then and there that that was the end of Russell Wilson. We should have known when he was doing this kind of stuff in a Broncos uniform, we should have known that nothing was the same.
Just put my jersey on for the first time. Broncos orange, let's ride. Green screening it with my boy.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. We in the orange, baby. Let's go. Let's ride, baby. Ooh.
Too clean right hey. Now. No cap.
Well, we know what we're doing. Yeah. I have my boy, Drew. And I got one foe with
me. One foe with me.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Show them what we're going to do.
Yes, sir. Ski.
That was the last time that any team was excited to have Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. It's like a time capsule. The Broncos were so excited. They were so thrilled to have Russell Wilson. They had a franchise quarterback. They gave him that big contract when they really didn't have to give him the big contract. I mean, that was sort of the beginning of the end. Like now in hindsight, when you kind of go back and you think to the movie, like, man, I should have picked up on that. Yeah, no, that would, when Seattle gave up on their franchise quarterback and gave him to the Broncos, we should have known. We should have known how 4 years later this thing was going to very, very quickly fall apart. Maybe we see Russell again as like a backup quarterback and somebody gets injured. Russell, you've had an incredible athletic career. You were a dynamic college player. You won a Super Bowl. If I was you, man, I would take your beautiful wife, your beautiful kids, your wonderful family. I would move to a house in rural Washington. And I would just live the rest of my life being Russell Wilson, the quarterback that won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. That's what I would do if I'm him. Maybe get you a nice little job at Fox or NFL Network or do something like that. Maybe you go work for the Big Ten Network and talk a little college football on the weekends, you know. But, man, you've made great money as a starting quarterback in the league. You've had a great career. I don't really know what more there is left for Russell Wilson to do in his football career. It just feels like Sunday Night Football. It feels like that was the end of Russell Wilson's time, at least playing football. It's just, I don't really know what much more, excuse me. I don't know what more he can accomplish in his career.
Let me ask you this real quick about Russell Wilson, because he's a very odd case, because basically from the minute he left Seattle, it's been bad. Does the amount of bad at the end of his career undo the good? Like, not even a Hall of Fame conversation, which this show loves, but just when he is remembered, when people look back at Russell Wilson's career, when you hear the name Russell Wilson in 5-10 years, does the fact it was bad, really bad in Denver, not great in Pittsburgh, and really bad in New York undo all the good of Seattle? Because he's now 0-for-3 in successful stops post-Seattle career. When you're talking to your kids about Russell Wilson, will they look back at his career and go, wow, that was a great player? Or will they say, ugh, the end was so bad, was it just a flash in the pan?
Yeah, I don't know if we really remember the end like that for a lot of players. It's interesting because I would say that Seattle's going to be remembered a lot more for their defense and a lot more for Marshawn Lynch, but he was the quarterback of that team. It's funny because I would say the biggest play of Russell Wilson's career is actually a negative play. It's the interception in the Super Bowl. So I don't know the answer to that question. Like, there was a time that we talked about Russell Wilson as a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, that's how we referred to him. I don't think that's the case anymore. Like, I don't really see a scenario in which Russell Wilson goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He certainly had a great career. He accomplished a lot of things. He did a lot of things. I just don't know, as you can see, the final 5 years of his career and just the one championship on a team that ran the ball so effectively and one of the best defenses we've seen of the 21st century. I don't know how you could, in good conscience, vote for Russell Wilson to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Rob, I want to ask you a question. I want to play a quick game, and then I have an admission. Russell Wilson started his career in 2012. It is 2025. How much money do you think Russell Wilson has made in his NFL career?
Oh, that's a great question.
How much money do you think he's made his NFL career? This is year number 15 for him, I believe.
That Broncos contract is so big.
It was
really big. I'm going to say he's at $275 million.
Russell Wilson in his NFL career made $315 million.
Oh, the Broncos got to be kicking themselves for that deal.
He signed a five-year, $242 million extension with the Denver Broncos in 2022. Think about how quickly things turned for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson got traded 3 years ago. He got traded March 16th of 2022. He signed that contract on September 1st of 2022. 3 years later, we don't think that he is an NFL quarterback anymore. And we haven't really thought that for probably the last 12 months, 16 months. Things turned, and they turned real, real quickly in Russell Wilson's career. This is where I think that Tom Brady has just broken people's brains. You are not meant to play football until you're 40 years old. That's not the way that football works. You can maybe pitch and still play at a high level at this age. You can golf or do some other things. Man, until Tom Brady, we didn't think that you could be 38 years old and play quarterback at a really high level. And I get it. Bodies have changed. Science has changed. The way that people train has changed. But man, this is always going to be a game that's dominated by 20-somethings. And the further and further you get away from 20, the more and more that you are on borrowed time playing football. And I think we just saw with Russell Wilson, that end just came a lot earlier than maybe people thought. His end was around 33, 34 years old. It was not at 37, 38 years old. I think it's in Russell's best interest to just, it's over. I had a great life. I got a chance to play. I'm still healthy. I got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. I'm telling you, move back to Seattle and let the people there love on you for the rest of your life. That is the best advice that I could give Russell Wilson. I want to admit something to you guys. Now, I told you guys last week that I tried the kids' meal at Outback on you guys' request. You guys told me that the kids' meal was a great way for you to get the same food at a cheaper price. And I listened to y'all. I believed you guys. And you led me down a terrible, dark path. But you know what? We're still friends. We're still family. It's my job to share things with you guys about how I think and how I feel and give you my opinions on things. I'm here to tell you guys that I've had a change of heart. So I'm watching Sunday Night Football, and they're showing commercials to The Voice. And I'm like, oh, who's that with Snoop Dogg? Oh, that's Reba McEntire? And I looked up how old Reba is. Reba's 70 years old. I started thinking to myself, I know all those things I said about Martha Stewart and how I felt about Martha Stewart. I think I might have moved on Sunday Night Football. I didn't know Reba. I didn't know. I was unaware of Reba's game. Now, maybe you know about Reba. I didn't know. I mean, I know who she is, obviously, but I didn't know she was on The Voice. I don't remember those commercials. But when I saw those commercials on Sunday Night Football, I was thinking to myself, I didn't know Reba. I didn't know. I was very, very unaware. Rob, am I allowed to officially turn in I had room for one of them in my heart. I think I'm ready to move on from Martha Stewart. We've had our run. We've had a great run. I love her. Great woman. I'm sure she makes a great scone. I think I'm ready to move on from Martha Stewart to Reba McEntire officially. After I saw Reba dancing around, I was like, you know what? Martha doesn't have my heart in the same way that she used to. I mean, she might get it back. Who knows? She might be in the swimsuit edition again this season, and she might get me back. But Reba Mac, she's got my heart right now. I'm officially switching over. I feel like this is when you officially make the decision to cut the cord from cable and you're going over to streaming. This is like when you made the decision to drop Verizon, you're going over to AT&T. I'm dropping Martha Stewart on my fantasy team, and I'm picking up Reba McEntire.
So let me ask you this question, because I don't think it's a bad decision. But are Reba and Martha in the same category? Because Martha Stewart is 85 years old.
Reba 70.
That's a 14-year difference. Those are two separate categories for me. I think she's in like she being Reba is like in the Susan Sarandon conversation. I think you can keep both in your heart the same way because they fall into different categories.
I mean, Susan Sarandon is 78.
I thought Susan Sarandon.
We're talking about old people. We're talking about old people.
Text line wants to know how old Jamie Lee Curtis is. Because you talked about Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's a great question.
You talked about Jamie Lee Curtis earlier this summer.
I was really unaware. I'm telling you, I didn't know Jamie Lee Curtis's game.
You bought Freakier Friday tickets after one promo video.
I was going to make a joke, but you know what? I like this job. Jamie Lee Curtis is 66. I'm picking Reba over Jamie Lee Curtis if you're going to give me the pick right now. Now, I admit, Jamie Lee Curtis, she had a bright future, and I didn't know that. I had absolutely no clue. I had no clue. But Reba, I'm telling you, I haven't felt that way in a long time, the way that I felt watching Sunday Night Football when I saw Reba on The Voice. I now want to watch The Voice. I don't even know what the show's about. I've never seen it before.
You know what the Voice is about?
I've never seen an episode of The Voice. I don't know the concept of it. I imagine
it's
somebody
American
sings.
Idol. It's American Idol. What I'm describing is American Idol.
Who's the old person? I mean, like, who's like the mean person on the show? We know who the old person is. Who's the mean person? Because part of American Idol was that they had the mean person. I'm not watching it because I really want to see the good singers. I'm watching it to see the girl from the small town that thinks she can sing. And then Simon tells you, please find a new profession. That's why I was watching American Idol.
Okay, well, that doesn't exist.
Okay, well, that's not a show for me then. That's not the show. I'm not here for the singing competition.
I'm going to say this one's basically, hey, there's four celebrities and they hear someone sing, they push a button and they build a roster of singers and they try to compete against one another. It's like Snoop, Reba, one of the dudes from One Direction. I think that's it.
One of the dudes. We don't know which dude it is.
I don't know. It's not Harry. It's one of the other ones.
I'm telling you, I'm sitting here looking at, I'm on Google Images with Reba. I was unaware, man. I didn't know. I had absolutely no clue.
You're going to get that computer in the control room in the studio reported to HR.
What kind of websites you think I'm on? I'm looking
that
up Reba Mac.
Face me?
I'm looking up Reba Mac. She's single too. She got divorced in 2015. Yeah, I'm Reba. I'm here. Can you play me some Reba songs? What's Reba's biggest hit? So I can know. I want to be well-versed. I want to support Reba. She sing like Achy Breaky Heart or something. What's her song?
I think Achy Breaky Heart's Miley Cyrus' dad.
I don't know. I've never heard a Reba McEntire song.
I don't know. I know a single Reba McEntire song.
You definitely know a Reba McEntire song.
I don't know. I do.
I'm serious. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking. Text line, can you tell me a Reba McEntire song that you think that I've heard before? Because I don't think I've heard any of these songs. I'm unaware of any of these songs. I would like to know support Reba. Is she in a movie that I can watch? I want to support Reba and all her works.
I Googled some of her songs. I've never even heard of these. Consider Me Gone, that was the highest charting one. Can't Even Get the Blues, that was her first number one Billboard song. Fancy. Not the Drake version, a different song.
Oh, man. If she was on that version, I would have known about it by now. See, I'm being serious. If you had told me about Reba McEntire like last Wednesday, I would have told you that she was the female Garth Brooks. That's what I would have guessed. That's what I think she is. I don't know. Again, I'm coming at this. I'm a novice. I'm trying to. If you've known about Reba McEntire since 1992, I'm telling you to scoot over and make room for me. She has my heart. There's been a long list of these people in my life. I remember when I went through a Kelly Ripa phase. Oh, my goodness. I loved Kelly Ripa. I was watching that show. She had Hope and Faith. That's how dark it was for me, Rob. I was watching Hope and Faith.
She had shows beyond just live.
Yeah,
Regis
she had like
Kelly.
A little sitcom. I think she was Faith. I had the faith and I was hoping. I love that woman. And then I moved on to Martha.
The internet tells me this is her most famous song.
Okay. Okay.
Not really your song, but...
Is it Reba? Then it's my kind of song.
It is Reba. This is Fancy by Reba.
Oh, for real. Okay. When we go get to the chorus...
Not a clue.
Okay.
I thought it would happen by the 90-second mark.
Okay, I didn't know. The text line is saying we gotta let the chorus rock. Okay, we're good. Thanks, Reba. No, I appreciate it.
Back with Martha now?
No, I appreciate it. No, I'm good. I'll watch her show. She's got a show, Reba. I think they used to come on like the WB, the CW. Okay, I'll give that a chance. Maybe the music isn't for me. Maybe I'm not a Reba music fan, you know? Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I'm just here to tell you that I'm here to support. That's all I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to support Reba McEntire and anything she got going on. It really caught me off guard. It really did. I had to pause the TV for a second. I was like, hold on. You know what? I got time to get back to this 6-6 first half I'm watching on Sunday Night Football. Let me... do a little research on my Queen Reba. Let's move on. I want to play this for you because this man got fired today. And no, it's not Russell Wilson. He also got fired.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
I mean, I know this is a lesson that all of us know, but we see it play itself out in real time. It does not matter what you have done in your career. It does not matter. The moment you can't produce for them anymore, they will fire you. The New England Patriots got rid of Tom Brady. At some point, you guys will tell Patrick Mahomes when it's time for him to do something else. I know you love him and you can't see that ever happening, but trust me, San Francisco got rid of Joe Montana. The Packers moved on from Brett Favre. Think about college coaches. For the most part, man, college, especially college football coaches, they don't get to just ride off into the sunset. That's usually not how it works. Mike Gundy worked at that place for 21 years. He is an alum of the school. They fired him before we got to October. They fired him before we got to October. The game does not love anybody. The moment you can't produce, they will figure out a way to get you out of here. That goes for me, you, Rob, everybody. Nobody is exempt from being fired. That man worked there every day since 2005. Again, he is an alum of the school. They went to a bowl game every year from 2006 to 2023. They have been one of the more consistent programs in college football. They hadn't won fewer than six games since 2005, his first season. They have been really good at Oklahoma State. He had one bad season and looked like he was in the middle of another one, and they fired him. So I'm just telling you, keep your head on a swivel at your job. Oh, they would never do that to me. Yes, they would. They can't wait to do it, actually. They rounded up $15 million to fire that man. I'm sure they went golfing together, hunting. I'm sure they did a lot of things with Mike Gundy. When it was time, hey, you got to go. And no, he's gone. Gone. He's like Justin Timberlake. Gone. He's out of here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will go around the National Football League and hear what people were saying about the Chiefs in week three. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I just want to get a temperature check to see where you guys are. Now, you will probably be surprised in my stance on this. This is the thing I always laugh at with the text line. A lot of times I get accused of being negative on the text line, and that's fine. Very rarely do people say that I'm wrong on the text line. You just want me to be more positive. It ain't my job to be positive. My job is to give you my opinion. Sometimes my opinion's positive. Sometimes my opinion might skew a little bit negative. I can only react to what we're watching. I can only react to what I see. I want to play for you guys what Mitch Holthus said yesterday. I asked Mitch Holthus, was he worried about Harrison Butker? This is what he said.
No, the only thing that I think would be noteworthy is he's not missing at the same place all the time. So last night, he gets the doink, but he's kind of pulled. It's like being on the driving range, and you're like, oh, man, I pulled that shot. And he gets, oh, it works. Now, maybe is he overcompensating? But then the next one, which was good, was headed there. It was headed toward the left upright, but it's good. But then he pushed the one. He pushed the one against the Eagles on the 59-yarder. Those are pushes, pulls. So I think he also is trying to get into a groove. I don't think it's necessarily physical. I haven't talked to him about it. I would surmise and hypothesize that it's not. But it's a matter of him trying to get his tee shot down where I'm pulling, it's kind of a recalibration. But I've seen him go through it before. We both have. I've seen him fix it before. And so I've got complete trust. I mean, I didn't get much sleep last night. I'll maybe lose sleep tonight. I don't know. But I'm not going to lose sleep over Butker. I think he'll get it figured out.
You guys might be surprised to hear I am actually in the exact same place. Now, I started with a little bit of a hypothesis, disposition. I don't know the correct word. I started with an assumption. And I looked it up. And the numbers didn't really support what I thought. If you date back since the injury, so you remember Harrison Butker missed a little bit of time last year. The Chiefs were figuring it out. They had this kicker and this kicker. He then missed a month of time. They then brought him back. Since then, Harrison Butker has been 14 of 18, and he has made 16 of his 21 extra points. Now, some of that is just he's gotten off to a slow start. So far this season, he's 7 of 9, and he's 3 of 5. That's basically what he was last year. He just made more extra points. He has had more attempts. It's been more time. So what I came to the conclusion on, I'm not going to worry about Harrison Butker yet. I reserve the right to, but it was a little bit shaky heading into the postseason, and he didn't miss a kick all last postseason. Now, I agree with what we just heard from Mitch Holthus. He does, to me, to be a peer of somebody who was currently trying to figure things out. Now, that's not ideal, and if he had made the extra point against the Chargers, maybe we're having different conversations about the Chiefs because they had won that game. I said this on the show yesterday. The Chiefs are not talented enough right now to overcome all of these mistakes simultaneously, not against good teams. You can do that against the Giants. They're not a good football team. But against Baltimore on Sunday, a team that can score, you cannot afford to get third down conversions taken off the board because your right tackle was lined up incorrectly. You can't afford to have a 15-play drive, and then when you got a chance to get points, your kicker pushes it wide right, and now your drive is all for nothing. You're just not a good enough team to do that. So there are other things that I think maybe deserve a little bit more attention, a little bit more conversation. I'm not going to be super worried about it today. If I had to put it on a scale from 1 to 10, put me at a 3.5, maybe a 4 when talking about Harrison Butker. I mean, it's not great. It's not ideal. And to Mitch's point, he's missing some short. He's missing some left. He's missing some right. He, to me, appears to be somebody who is still in the process of trying to figure it out. So I'm going to give him that time, 3.5, 4. On my scale of not being worried about things, I actually think that's relatively low. I'm not going to panic right now about Harrison Butker.
So me and you feel largely the same way. I will say this, though, and maybe this makes me the hater or negative, whatever. My one concern, I'm probably very similar to you, probably a 4 on the concern level. I have much bigger concerns with the Chiefs than their kicker. One thing that has me a little concerned, maybe a little bit more than you, is I feel like kickers are kind of like bullpen arms. They can sometimes be finicky, and when it happens fast. Justin Tucker last year was a bad kicker. All the off-the-field stuff to the side, we didn't know about it until the offseason. Justin Tucker last year, who is largely considered one of the greatest kickers in the history of the NFL, it's like him, Vinatieri, and another exclusive group, Justin Tucker last year was bad. So And that was not something that we were talking about, like, oh, it's starting to show some cracks in the foundation. Maybe Tucker isn't that guy anymore. It just was 2024 season started. Everyone thought they have Justin Tucker still. Turns out they don't have that version of Justin Tucker anymore. And then it was kind of over. Now, there are some other reasons it's over for Justin Tucker. So I am similar to you. 3.5, 4 is probably my worry is. But I feel like kickers are a little bit, once they get in their head, there's a mental aspect to it, and it can end quickly. That's where my bullpen arm analogy comes from. So 3.5, 4, but I also feel like it's something to monitor, because if he keeps missing kicks, the Chiefs really can't be affording to give away points right now because this team doesn't score enough points.
Maybe I feel this way about Buckers because there's not really anything they can do right now. He is their kicker for the foreseeable future. Let's say that you're tired of Harrison Bucker, right? Let's say Harrison Bucker misses 3 field goals this week. His dead cap is $15 million for your kicker if you just outright release him. His dead cap for next year is $10 million. They have committed themselves for the rest of this season and next season. They have committed themselves to Harrison Bucker. Now, in 2 years, you can get out of it, and maybe it just reaches the point that they want to get out of it. I think we're obviously very far away from that, but I'm just trying to look of, hey, what if this thing doesn't turn around? What if it's Justin Tucker? Because I'm with you. I think before all of the Mr. Nasty Man allegations, I think we all saw, hey, that's not the same kicker anymore. The same leg, the same range, the confidence that you had on 50-yard field goals, it was gone. And now I think you're noticing it not just in the NFL, but also in college. Man, those kicks that used to be 50 to 60 yards, and you were like, I don't know about this. Man, over half of the kickers in the league, that's nothing for them right now. Like, we are seeing a golden age of field goal kicking. So not being able to do that just puts you at a disadvantage. Again, I don't want to walk down too far this path. I'm not here to fearmonger about Harrison Bucker, but we got to talk about a guy who has missed 2 extra points this season and has missed a couple of field goals, that if you make those field goals, it just changes the math for everything. You don't have to do an onside kick against Philadelphia. The math in game 1 is very, very different. The game on Sunday, you probably put that game away a lot earlier if you're a little bit better at special teams. So certainly something to keep an eye on, something I'm noting. But I'm not going to freak out about it right now. I'm going to still play it calm. I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to play it collected. I'm going to keep it at a 3, 3.5, 4, somewhere in that range. I don't think there's any reason to elevate it past that point with where we are in the season. But let's see what happens, because just knowing the Chiefs, they will continue to be in close games. They play the Ravens this week. They play the Lions coming up in a couple of weeks. This is before you think their offense can get back to 100%. They're going to need a good Harrison Bucker if they're going to help get themselves out of this 1-2 start that they've created. Coming up on the other side, we'll take a trip around the NFL, and we'll hear what some of the national voices had to say about the Chiefs getting in the win column for the first time in 2025. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.